because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome to the show. How are all you great stewards of the land doing out there today? This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current weather right now is 85 degrees, south winds at 14 miles an hour, humidity is 50%, and dew points at 64. Well, we got a great show in line for today. I have a really special guest in the studio with me today, but back in May, various environmental groups asked a federal court to vacate the Navigable Waters Protection Rule, the NWPR, enacted during the Trump administration. The motion filed in South Carolina U.S. District Court asked the court to vacate the rule based on what they called undisputed facts, including what they say has been lost protection of U.S. waters. But last week, the court dismissed the NWPR challenge, ensuring the rule remains in effect till the Biden administration finalizes a new rule. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association, along with other agriculture groups, are pleased with this key victory. The NWPR is a major improvement to the widely overreaching 2015 Waters of the United States rule, said NCB. A Chief Environmental Counsel, Scott Yeager. That's a lot of words right there just to introduce him. NCBA has long fought to protect the private property rights and oppose unnecessary expansion of the federal jurisdiction over isolated and temporary water features. This decision is a victory for American cattle producers, ensuring regulatory certainty while the Biden administration moves through the lengthy rulemaking process. Moving forward, NCBA will continue engaging with the Biden administration, Congress, and the courts to protect cattle producers' property rights. Agriculture groups support the current rules because they say it simplifies questions with the Clean Water Act jurisdiction that farmers face on their land. Of course, the Biden administration continues to review the existing NWPR rule. That's good news for us out here. That deal back in 2015, it blew up and everybody's face, and that was going to be a really bad deal if I think EPA was going to get involved and everybody else was getting involved. So if you had a pond on your place, they was going to dictate to you what you was going to do with that water out of there. So anyway, we are streaming live on Facebook on KCO FM Facebook page if you want to watch me and the guests today that I have in the studio. And also, you can listen to it on KCO FM, the webpage. If you go to it, you can download that and get on there and watch the show. Or not watch the show, listen to the show, I'm sorry. And also, you can go to a Paragon Communications app on your phone, and then you can listen to it on there and download that app. It's a great app. There's been a lot of downloads in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And so everybody's listening out there, and I appreciate everybody's listening. Well, my guest today is Dr. Taylor Mouse. She just opened up Stockman's Veterinary Clinic on South Main in Elk City, and they did a lot of remodeling down there. I stopped by there, and it's really nice. When we come back, she and I will talk animal health, talk about her. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, July 19th. 825 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 390 brought 200. 18 at 588 brought 171. 5 at 597 brought 160. 3 at 720 brought 133. 22 at 948 brought 136.50. 13 head of heifers at 328 brought 148. 7 at 559 brought 144.50. 49 at 708 brought 146.50. 4 at 790 brought 138. 5 at 979 brought 120. Butcher cows were 32 to 79.50, bred cows 10.50 to 1100, butcher bulls 20 to 107, pairs brought 13.50 to 16.25. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We only sell 100% diesel. We don't mess with the biodiesel. We've heard nothing but problems with the biodiesel. It grows an algae in the tank and it dirties filters, and I've just heard a nightmare about it. We use 100% diesel. We also sell 100% gasoline. We don't get the 10% ethanol. We just are more comfortable with that. We feel like it lasts a little longer. When a farmer's buying 500 gallons and they're going to use that over 6 months, we don't want them to get to the last 6 months and it be bad.
We have to maintain that spec for out in the oil field, so we just pass it on out here to our yard and say, or that way we just always know we're not getting any bio, that way you don't get any trash in your fuel, which is going to save you, and then less time you have to change filters and buy filters and all that stuff and maintenance on your equipment.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma.
Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I got to laugh at that return deal every time. I'm sorry. I'm not that redneckish. But anyway, current weather still 85 degrees, humidity 50%, wind speeds out of the south at 14 miles an hour. As most of you know, we have a shortage of big animal doctors in rural America, not just western Oklahoma, but in rural America. But today in Elk City, we have two now. We had one. Well, we actually got three. You got to come, you know, I'm just calling Circle M one. But anyway, so in Elk City, we have three vets now. The newest one is Dr. Taylor Mouse. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Oh, and so where were you born and raised?
So I was born and raised just north of Elk City. I grew up here, went to school here. My parents are from around here. My mom's from Carter. My dad's from right here in Elk City. I went through high school here. I graduated in 2013. I also have a little brother named Garrett. He is in the heat and air industry. And let's see, after I graduated, I went on and went to Oklahoma State, where I graduated in 2017 with a bachelor in animal science. I went straight on into vet school, and I just graduated in the beginning of May. So I've been back just a couple months.
Yeah, we've been waiting on you. I have anyway. So anyways, so you were raised north of Elk with your mom and dad, Mr. and Mrs. Greg Mouse up there, if you guys don't know him. But what made you decide to get into animal health?
I started out at a young age. I was 8 years old when I started showing Angus heifers, registered Angus heifers, with my family, and really liked that. Got in the barn anytime anything was sick, I'd help take it in. And really kind of got my passion brewing with Dr. McConnell at Circle M. Started when I was 14, helping him out on the weekends and during breaks. And really got to like it and stayed on with him through all of high school and all of undergrad and through the first half of vet school.
I knew you somewhere. You were Joey's. No wonder.
Yes.
I was like,
I was little. Yeah, you were little. I was at Joey's for almost 10 years. And he helped me out, him and Dr. Dick both. That's where I really figured this is out what I really wanted to do and pursue for a career, and so I continued that. And
were they excited you were coming back here?
Yes,
because I've talked to both of them, and they like, don't interview us, go down there and interview her.
They both were, as well as Dr. Keith Fox, Dr. Jimmy Fox, Dr. Zent. They've all been very welcoming, letting me come back into town. And
we got some good vets in this town
helping out anytime I have questions. If I need anything, they're just a phone call away. All my professors at school, but these guys being out here, being close, they know what it's like out here. It's nice to have somebody close that I can call and talk to and bounce stuff off of.
Well, I got to use you yesterday for the first time. Well, and it's the first time I had anything to need to use you for, thank God. But, you know, but Taylor and her crew, Ronnie and Maddie. Yeah, Maddie come out yesterday, and we ran the Muncrease and my 35 heifer stew to do a preg check. Everything went pretty smooth. I had to wipe the stuff off my face to come back to work to the radio station because they didn't want to smell me in here anyway. But anyway, everything went good. Didn't have any major problems. So from a business point, she did great. So if you guys need something done, call her. But anyway, this is not what this is about. We're here to talk about who Taylor is. So when you were going to vet school at OSU, so the fourth year is when you did your interns, I guess. Is that what they call them?
The preceptors, yes. I was allowed 12 weeks outside of the hospital.
Talk talk us through your adventure. Hey, if you're just joining us, it's Today in Ag, and this is Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO, and I have Dr. Taylor Mousen here, the veterinarian on South Main, and we're talking about her and her adventures.
So I started out in May. We were completely online with all of the COVID stuff, so we had our first 6 weeks were entirely online, and then we went back to school 1 week in clinic, 1 week at home on Zoom. And then in August, I started my first set of preceptors where I had the opportunity to go spend a month in Hereford, Texas.
How was that?
Good. In feedlot country. Got a lot of feedlot experience, a lot of horse experience. Got to get in on a lot of small animal stuff, a lot of orthopedics. They do lots of plates and pins out there and dog legs. So I got to experience a lot of that, which was all new to me.
What's the major cause of that out there? Just people running over the dogs or the horses kicking them?
Yeah, that too.
That
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of horse work, lots of feedlot work out there. So I learned just kind of the ins and outs of what they do as a feedlot consultant type of situation, and then went back to school for another couple months. Then I got to go to Ashland, Kansas for 2 weeks into seed stock cow-calf operations and got to preg check a lot of cows.
There's a lot of cattle in Ashland, Kansas. A
lot of cows, and had the opportunity to really learn the ultrasound side of things, preg checking early and using ultrasound. So I got to do that a lot.
Are you doing that?
We do offer that. That's what we actually had quite a few yesterday.
Oh, cool.
That's one thing that I can get them a little closer, a little earlier. If some guys have some heifers that are shorter bred that they're wanting to make sure that they got bred early.
Right.
And use the ultrasound to get pretty close.
Would that have helped us yesterday?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
With the short breeding season.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see, that was in September. And then in February, I had an opportunity to go with Dr. Lisa Kilhofer out of Hobart at ARC Veterinary Clinic. And she is a mixed animal practice and does a lot of small animal. So I got a lot of small animal internal medicine, lots of blood work, lots of surgery, a lot of that down there with her.
Any snake bites down there?
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah. Some on some cows.
We're going to talk about that later. You're not getting out of that.
And then the end of April, I had the opportunity to go spend 2 weeks with the Drs. Prather and Dr. Shin at Shattuck.
Yeah.
At Ellis County. I spent 2 weeks with them doing lots of breeding, lots of on-farm protocols, breeding protocols, lots of taking all the data in from when we do breed, reproductive tract scoring, ultrasounding those heifers, going through all of that with him and having data behind the different things that he does and why he does what he does, and really
helps. Can you give us an example?
Like, he sits down and they go through like a set of heifers and they will reproductive tract score, see what the size of their uterus is, how their ovaries look when they're about a year old, make sure that they have corpus luteum, that they've been having cycles. Then he pelvic measures everything, and then that all goes into a computer system and tells you the size of calf that heifer can handle. So then that way, if she's got like a really small pelvis, those are ones that guys just go ahead and get rid of at yearlings and don't even breed. Or if their reproductive tract isn't as developed as it should be for their age, that's one that has a chance that she may not breed at a later date. So they just go ahead and can get rid of those, and the guys that decide they really want to keep those, he keeps data on all of that, what their pelvic measure was, what their reproductive tract score was, and how they bred through all of his AI protocols. And then when he palpates and pregnancy detects, he keeps all of that data for those guys and keeps them on spreadsheets for years.
That's a lot.
It is.
Well, I guess what would you say the main purpose of them doing that is? What's the main?
He's got a lot of guys up there that have a lot of big operations that over the years they like to sell good heifers, and they keep more of a heifer crop up there.
Right.
And so they use that as a reasoning to cull a little deeper on some, and then they get to where they don't have to cull very many because they're changing their breeding, and it takes 3 or 4 years to get there. And he shows them their data over time, and he uses that as he gets new producers in up there. He uses that as a tool to sit down and go through the graphs and the data. He's got a couple veterinary technicians up there that sit down of an afternoon, and they do lots of data and putting in all the data, and then they sit down together and pile all that data together. And then veterinary technicians that go out in AI for him, and then they keep up with all their data as to how they're breeding, how their new assistants that they have coming through, how they're breeding, if they need to train on them a little more.
Cattle has come a long way.
Yes.
You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5, and I got Dr. Taylor Mouse, Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic, in here, and we're talking. So on that subject you were just talking about, it also, instead of hanging on to a heifer for an extra year or whatever till the breeding is done or the calving's done, whatever, is they can get rid of them early.
Yes.
And they don't have to feed. It saves money, actually.
Yes.
A lot of money.
That way they're able to get rid of those heifers and keep and focus on the ones that are going to go ahead and be good producers for them.
Right. And does it help with the breeding at all? I mean, detecting whether that heifer's going to breed or not?
It has some to do with it. It's one, I mean, they've got a better chance of coming into heat, a better chance of being reproductively ready whenever these guys are ready to set up a big group and AI them all at the same time.
Well, when I first come across all this, not the old original 50 years ago cattle calf operation, is, she'll have another good one. She'll have one next year. I'll keep her another year. That doesn't fly now. It costs too much money.
Yes, yeah.
And like Jimmy Taylor was on the show our first week here about 3 weeks ago. This is week number 4. We got one more day, and I'll be here a month, and I haven't got fired yet. And so, but he was talking about how he's doing DNA and changing, because when I first actually physically got involved with Jimmy in his truck and went out to look at his cattle when I was doing some work out there, he showed me some cattle that was in a lot, and I said, "What's these cattle?" And he said, "Oh, they're going to the sale barn. They don't breed back in a certain time period." And I was going, "I'll buy them, because I mean they look better than anything on my place." But I'm slowly, the last 8 or 10 years, I'm getting to see this, and with people like you guys coming on the show, we're learning stuff. We're learning just like that.
It helps with a tighter breeding window, tighter calving window. Then you're not out there all the time worried about when one's going to calve. If you've got a tight 45 to 60 day window that they're all going to calve in, and that's what you want to keep, then you've got a uniform calf crop that you can send to the sale barn, and you're not getting docked for having some that are 500-600 pounds, yeah, and some little bitty 200-300 pounders that you wean all at the same time. You've got a more uniform calf crop to send, and that really seems to help. So we get a tight calving window going.
Well, let's continue this right after this. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
JC Cowboys is open every weekend with live music all summer long. Come in and register to win our JC's You Later Beach giveaway. Airline tickets for 2, 4 days and 3 nights in a condo at Orange Beach, and $500 in spending cash. Drawing during the Dean Jackson performance, August 7th. See official rules and sign up to receive email updates and promotions at jccowboys.net.
The good times are here waiting for you at JC Cowboys. Come on.
What makes the perfect workout? Being able to ride, lift, and stretch in one place with motivating instructors.
Y'all look so good out there, Peloton.
Classes that always work around your busy summer schedule.
Push, Peloton. You've got 20 minutes of opportunity on this ride.
Instructor-curated playlists for every mood.
Let's turn it up. Come on.
Now what if you had it all? Ride it home. The Peloton Bike. Nothing like working out from home. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Keep the power turned on with Culver Electric. Brandon and Jill Culver have built a business based on honesty, integrity, and dependability. That's why so many of you have already trusted Culver Electric with your electrical needs. The talented, trusted crew at Culver Electric goes all over western Oklahoma turning on the power. For new construction, residential or business repairs, and oil field power needs, call Culver Electric, 243-5846. To keep the power turned on, don't get your wires crossed. Call Brandon and Jill Culver at Culver Electric, 243-5846.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. I have Dr. Taylor Mouse from Stockman's veterinarian clinic on South Main here in Elk City. She's a big animal vet, and we're just talking. That's all. We're getting to know our new vet in town. And I mean, a lot of people know who she is, but they don't know what she's capable of doing now. And we just found out in our last little segment here about ultrasounds and what these guys are measuring and doing all this stuff and helping with their herd, improving their herds. Because basically what we found out the last month on the shows is, you know, we got to worry about the consumer. And the producers are the producers. And they need to produce the best product for the consumer. It doesn't matter who the packer is, doesn't matter who the feedlot is. They've got to start at the ground level, you know, because now we're more into carcasses versus fat. And the beef has improved so much in the last 10 years. And it helps with technology that you guys that are veterinarians that are developing. And some of the stuff you just told me, I was like, this is better than having a baby, you know? So anyway, but so what kind of, did you have any crazy adventure while you were gone that you just, it sticks in your mind and you'll always remember? You can talk about a couple of them.
I mean, just going through, just seeing, like, being out in practice. I mean, school, you see stuff that is specialty-type things that most private practitioners aren't going to do. It's something that we need to be able to diagnose, but it will go on to a more specialty place that can, if it's a severe case, where being out in the private practices, going to different places. That's why I stayed pretty rural when I picked my preceptors. I kind of went somewhere where I was kind of planning on going back to. So I tried to stay kind of Western Oklahoma, kind of West Texas, just kind of seeing out here what there was, and really wanted to see like more of the feedlot side of things. That was one that was like a really big eye opener. The amount of data that those feedlots get on a day-to-day basis.
It's probably unreal.
It is unreal. Just the number of cattle that they have in there, and then just the amount of data that comes with those, and then just the way that they have everything. Everything's in a spreadsheet. It would take 4 or 5 hours to sit down and go through all of the data to determine, okay, well, is the antibiotic protocol that they have them on, is that working? Do they need to have more training? That was one that was a super big eye-opener. And then just getting around the ultrasound thing, like I said, that was something that, I mean, I hadn't had just a ton of experience with, and we got to use it a little bit at school and some of the electives that I had, but it hadn't been anything that we had used just a ton of. But that's something that I went ahead and got just because of, the cattle repro side of things is one of the things I really enjoy. And so being able to determine if these heifers are bred earlier, whether than instead of keeping them till they're supposed to be 4 or 5 months along, when like my dad would normally preg check one, he would know now she should be 45 days
and she's open.
There's no reason to have to keep her,
right?
Unless she's one that's got a really good set of genetics. But then we've gotten him a lot harder on the cull rates just because we're able to go in and ultrasound and can tell him. And
that's one less mouth you are feeding that you shouldn't have to be.
Yes.
Because like yesterday, I told you, and I'll tell the audience, our listeners, what we were doing yesterday, we were preg checking these 35 heifers. Well, with some advice from my old buddy K-Bar over at K-Bar Ranch over there north of Canute, what we did with these heifers is we took them in, we worked them, got them ready, just like you were going to AI them. But instead of AI-ing, when we pulled the cedars and gave them a shot, we turned 4 bulls in on 35 heifers. And I thought we did pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, we did 80-90% probably, or close to it, not examined. So, but I was lucky to have a buddy that had 4 bulls he'd loan me.
Right.
So, I mean, that makes a difference. But we just wanted to try it because we did the AI-ing last year, and we did the sex breeding deal, and it wasn't perfect by no means, and sex breeding is more difficult than the regular AI, correct?
It's just because of the semen. It's the same concept. It's just that the semen's gone through more handling, and so therefore it decreases the chance. I mean, there's a little less chance of it taking just because they've been sorted an extra time, and there's a lot less sperm. Versus a half cc straw, which is what most of them are, where those are quarter cc
straws.
Yeah,
those are a little bitty, little bitty deals.
Yeah, a lot less semen in those.
Yeah, so if anybody's got a question out there for Dr. Mouse, while she's on the show today, you can text into the KCO Hot Ag Line. I call it the Hot Ag Line because we're hot in here today. But anyway, so it's 225-9697 or 580-225-9697. If you got any questions why Dr. Mouse is in the studio today, please text in. Or if you got anything else you want to say nicely, just text it in. But anyway, so at your vet clinic, you have your mom.
Yes.
I knew your mom was from the co-op.
Yep,
my mom. And they miss her. They miss her dearly.
At the co-op, and I got really lucky that I was able to grab her, and she is my office manager, my receptionist. She takes care of the front for me.
And she can help you if you need.
She's an extra set of hands when I need them. Then I got really fortunate that Ronnie Thomas, we grew up together, went to high school together. I've known her forever. I got the opportunity. She was looking for a full-time position, and I had one available, so I was able to get her.
And she's not scared.
No, she is not.
I said, you want to run the head gate yesterday? Sure, why not?
And then Madison Dusek, she's from Sayre. She's a sophomore at Oklahoma State, planning on going to vet school. She just wanted some experience, needs some vet experience to get into vet school, and so she wanted the opportunity to just kind of get a little couple days a week, and that's turned into she's there 6-7 days a week.
And then after hours. When's she leaving?
She's actually leaving the end of next week to go back to school, but she'll be back with all her breaks with me. Summer break, Christmas break.
That'd be
some
perfect
weekends.
That'd be like having a second.
And then I also have another one that Ronnie also works at the old Clinton Sale Barn on Tuesdays. So
right.
Kristen Cloud.
Yeah.
She comes in on Tuesdays and helps me out.
Oh, cool.
So I got pretty lucky that I have some large animal oriented girls we are an all girl crew, but we're all pretty large animal oriented, but we're not afraid of the small animals. We've seen dogs, cats, we've been looking at some bunny rabbits, we've even seen a peacock come in.
The only thing that I'm disappointed in Dr. Mouse, by the way, if you're just joining us, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO, and I have Dr. Taylor Mouse from Stockman's Veterinary Clinic. She's the boss, and she's in here in the studio, and the only problem I got is you're not going to do snakes.
That is about the only thing that we will not look at.
Because I have rattlesnakes I run over all the time, and I really want to save them, but not really.
No.
So.
Those are about the only thing we don't look at, because we also see horses, pigs, sheep, goats. We see everything.
Yeah, when I was in the clinic last week, you had a horse in there that had an eye problem. What was the deal on that?
He had what we call a stromal abscess. He had an abscess deep within his eye. And so from going through school, I'd seen a few different things and knew that he'd been on a few systemic antibiotics because he belongs to a little 9-year-old girl that goat ties off of him. And so he'd been going to some rodeos, so we tried him on some systemic antibiotics, and we weren't making a whole lot of headway. So he's been with me for the last 2 weeks now. And he has a line in his eye that allows us to administer his antibiotics directly on his eye. There's just a little disc that sits up in his upper eyelid and has a little port back braided down in his mane. And we're able to administer those antibiotics every 2 hours to him all throughout the day.
Yeah,
and that has helped.
When I came in there, he looked like he was about ready to fall over. I said, that horse got a shot in him. Well, yeah.
Yep, he was a little sedated for that one, just so he'd sit still so we could get that put in there. And we've got that put in, and he's looking great.
Well, the first time that I met Taylor, I met her before. Now we figured that out today. Yeah. But anyway, when she opened the clinic up, I stopped by there, and a guy from South of Elk had just pulled in there with a big old cow. It had to be Angus Holstein.
Yep, she has an Angus Holstein cross.
And she's a big old cow, and she couldn't have her calf, which was unusual because that was a big old cow.
Yep, big cow.
And Taylor and Who Crew jumped right up on there, got that calf on the ground. Nobody panicked. Nobody was in a hurry. She done her job properly, and I was impressed. And because that was a big old cow.
That was a big cow. She's pretty good to a cat.
Yeah,
cow.
And I was going, if this cow goes down, it's going to flip this whole building over, because it was a big cow. But so what all services, and you're going to be doing AI, are you going to do embryo?
Yes, I do. I do. The embryo side of things is something I got into with a vet out of Shamrock, Texas. My dad does a lot of that, and so I really got into it, and then had the opportunity with Dr. Russell Killingsworth out of Shamrock. I ran with him for two or three summers, Christmas breaks, odds and ends, whenever I had time. He had things going. I'd go out there with him. I learned how to put in some frozen embryos. So currently I do not flush cows. I leave that to some other people just because that takes a lot more stuff. But any frozen embryos, IVF, conventional embryos, we have a place to store them and bring the cows in. Let us know when they're in heat. A week later, we bring the cows in. We get those embryos put in. We've probably put in 50 or 60.
So far?
Yeah. Since I've been
and
back.
And have you preg checked any of those yet?
Not yet on those. A lot of those guys just watch natural heats, which is another thing that it has helped out. They set a group of them up, and if we can get a bunch in on that, then they kind of have a rough reset time, and then they just keep heats on those cows and let them pass over a time or two where they don't come back in heat, and then we'll check them at 60 to 75 days and see where we're at.
Because you got a Gomer bull, don't you?
Yes, I do. I actually have multiple of those, and I just fixed three when I got back, and I've got two more little ones.
You like selling them for profit or what?
Well, I just get them fixed because, I mean, I've got that one, but it's one that if I've got two or three different bunches of cows because we have room to keep those cows, he can work for 4 or 5 days, and then he needs a little bit of time off, so I've got a few replacements to bring back in and keep down there, and we've got 3 or 4 different sets of pens that we can keep.
You change that up on there, because my plan is that with our fall, the fall heifers we got, I'm going to get them ready. I'm going to put the cedars in, and I'm going to pull them. About 8 days later, I'm just going to bring them in and drop them off to you, and you're going to take care of them and call me and tell me to come get them.
Sure.
And I just got to get you the semen and the whole work. So that's how you said it. I got a question for you.
Okay.
This gentleman says, I run 10 head of Black Angus cows. They usually produce bull calves. We recently had 2 heifers born, and me and the wife are thinking of raising them up into mama cows. What steps should we take with them? This will be our first time to raise heifers into cows.
Okay. That's one that we just start at a young age. We get them on good vaccine protocol and make sure that we just keep an eye on them, keep them away from the younger bull calves that you have in the herd. That's what we castrate those if you're not planning on keeping them. When they're 300 to 400 pounds, we get those bulls cut so that way we don't have accidental babies at 700 to 800 pounds.
Yeah, that's not a good deal.
No, those have not been.
It keeps you in business.
Yeah, it does. It does, but they're not a whole lot of fun to have to cut out, and they're not a whole lot of fun to keep in the herd for longevity purposes. So we just make sure that we keep them up on all their vaccines, and then when they get to yearlings, we look at them, we check their reproductive tract, we check their pelvis and see how they're, make sure they're growing like they should be. And then when they're 14, 15, 16 months old, depending on exactly what breed they are, like you said, Angus Cross, so about 15, 16 months, we can look at setting them up and getting
AI.
Them AI.
Yep. Yeah, because
AI, I mean, on a small herd like that, it's just as easy to AI because, I mean, to go around and buy a bull for just a few head, it's
we can
AI.
Yep.
AI and get you some good genetics started in and some good keepers to get back into the herd.
That's a great question.
Thank you
for texting in. And yeah, because if you just got even just 10 or 15, it's still not worth buying an extra bull.
The price of bulls, just the amount of stuff that they can tear up and have to
cause
the cows and
headaches.
Yeah. I mean,
when they get down with those grills,
bulls aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
Bulls aren't cheap anymore.
And then when they get bored with this bunch, they're going somewhere else. And so I happen to be lucky. I got a couple of heifer bulls, but this year we tried something different with some different genetics in those deals. But great question. So it sounds like, I don't know who you are, but it's a mister for sure. But mister who you are, visit Taylor down there on South Main in Elk City, or your vet if you're not from around here, your vet. But that's some good advice. But what advice do you got for people right now with cattle and heat and flies?
We have the Ultra Saber. That's what I really like for flies. Put that on them, and it doesn't take very long at all. Keep those flies off of them. And just keep an eye on if there are, if you're still calving, if you've got an extended calving window. There are some guys that start calving here pretty quick for the more club calf side of things. Just keep an eye on your cows. If you think they're starting, if you think you got a little bit of an issue, if they haven't made progress in an hour or two, don't hesitate to holler at us. We don't mind looking at one. I mean, if it's all coming right and she can spit it out on her own here in just a little bit. But let's look at it and make sure there's not any issues.
Yeah, just give them some time, though.
Yep, just to keep them
But
firm.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's hot. And then,
keep plenty of shade, plenty of water out.
Shade's the big thing.
Shade is the big thing. As long as there's plenty of room for everybody to spread out and get out and get laid down and just keep an eye on everybody. And,
well, I noticed that the feedlot that I went to here a couple of weeks ago, they've got those new portable feedlots, which made basically out of a mesh or a screen out there. They're actually tarps, but the frame's all metal. And they said that has taken so much stress off their cattle in the feedlots, it is not even real. But what amazed me is the technology in the feedlots now. I mean, they've got those ear tags. When they come through a lane, there's cameras hit every one of those feedlot or those tags, and they know exactly who's what and what's where. But they did try a deal, but they said there's improvement to be made on it. And these ear tags that are in these cow's ears, is it takes temperature, body temperature. But this was the first time they've ever tried this with this deal. And what they found out is that they handled the whole, that one certain lot that had the tags in there, they handled them too much, because a couple of these calves, the temperatures would be above normal. So they'd go in there and sort them out. And it upset the rest of them because they got handled so much. And they found out that that was hurting them more than helping, because the next lot to them that had 100 head in there, they were just using eyesight to check them for sicknesses. And they did better. And the ones with the ear tags with the temperatures also gained 0.1 pounds less per day than the ones that they didn't handle all the time. Well, that don't sound like much.
It doesn't sound like much.
But 100 heads times 1/10 of a pound per day, and they're in there 180 to 200 days. Is that right?
Yeah, just depends on what size they are when they come in.
And so technology is crazy. So if anybody wants to come see you, how do they get a hold of you?
Same old Stockman's number. If you ever look it up, 580-225-0200.
And Dr. Taylor Swift, and you talk to your Swift, Dr. Taylor. I got music on my mind. My bad. Don't fire me, boss. Anyway, Taylor Mouse and your mom answering the phone.
Yep.
And so, anyway, it's a good family operation going on down there. It's good and clean. And go visit them and welcome her back to Elk City.
Yep. And if you come down on about every other weekend or an after-hours call, you're most likely to see my dad and my little brother down there, too. They're down there always, so
it looks way different.
Yeah, it's always a family. It's been a family run operation this whole time, and like last night I had an after hours emergency, and they're just a phone call away. So it's been really nice to be able to come back home and have family here to help. Family
Welcome
and
back.
Friends. Thank you.
All right. Well, have a great day, and thanks for coming.
Thank you.
It's not Taylor Swift. It's Taylor Mouse. So. I'm sorry. All right. Well, have a great one. We'll be right back.
We want to sell a product at Terry's Furniture that's a good value for the money. A good value doesn't have much to do with how much it costs when it's new. It has to do with how long that it lasts. A $400 recliner that lasts 5 years is not as good a value as a $600 chair that lasts 10 years. Because if you divide how many dollars you spent by how many years it lasted, that 10-year chair is going to be a better chair for the money. It's a better value, even though it might cost you a few dollars more at the start.
So for value, you're thinking long term.
Exactly. Value is how long something lasts. That's really what value is. If you buy a little tiny pickup to haul bales of hay and spend $40,000 on it, it's not going to last very long. But spend $70,000 on a truck that'll haul bales of hay, a big 3/4 ton diesel, you're going to get 15, 20 years out of it if you treat it correctly. Same thing with a recliner.
Terry's Furniture Showroom.
We're at 2001 South Main in Elk City, Oklahoma, right behind McDonald's.
Not just another car commercial. We're turning it up this summer. Burning heat means burning hot savings at Cummins in Weatherford. Now's your chance to drive away in a new 2021 Ram or cruise in style in a new 2021 Jeep Cherokee. Unbeatable pricing, easy financing, and the best service. Don't miss the Make This the Summer event at Cummins Chrysler. Go to the Cummins Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Weatherford on 540 and Airport Road and online at CumminsChrysler.com. See dealer for details.
Generac backup generators are the industry standard, and Carter Electric in Elk City is your authorized Generac dealer. Let's face it, electricity is a highly needed element in our daily lives. It's a proven fact extreme weather impacts electricity providers. So let Carter Electric help you get the properly sized Generac backup generator for your home or business. Plus, they can professionally install it for you. So anytime the power grid goes out, your backup power switches on automatically. And it's fueled by natural gas or propane, so no refueling needed. Carter Electric, 217 West 12th Street in Elk City. Call 225-2447, your Generac authorized dealer.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Well, I had a really good conversation going with Dr. Mouse until the end there when I announced her as Taylor Swift. And I don't even know why I do that. I don't even like Taylor Swift. But anyway, so winter wheat harvest is finally starting to pick up pace up north as farmers have battled weather extremes. Right now, 73% of the crop has been harvested. That's just 1% behind the five-year average, but 14% ahead of last week. Montana and Idaho are the last states to be harvested. While it's almost wrapped up, California, Kansas, and Texas is almost done. Harvest is complete in Oklahoma and Arkansas for sure. We're really seeing an accelerated harvest process in the north where the drought impacts because the wheat's not very good up there. Winter white wheat is down 35%, and then the quality's not even there. So wheat harvest has wrapped up in Arkansas. Last year, farmers harvested 75,000 acres of winter wheat. But how did spring rains impact the yields? Chris Schaffers of Arkansas Farm Bureau offered this update from the field. Wheat is kind of a unique crop in Arkansas. There used to be a lot planted back in the day, but not as many acres today. The price has been an incentive to plant it more this year than we normally put in behind our corn ground. And then we'll come back and plant soybeans behind the wheat stubble. As the barley crop finishes up, the news is not good. So far, just 27% is rated good to excellent. 42% is poor to very poor. Last year, three-quarters of the crop was rated good to excellent. Once again, Washington State is coming in at the top of the list. We see 63% of the barley rated poor, very poor to poor. Also, at or above 50% in these two conditions are in North Dakota and Montana. So you can see how bad the drought has impacted the North States, the Dakotas, and everything out west of Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. It is dry out there. We feel their pain. We went through one here not too long ago. Hay and forage. Hay prices, I'm going to go through a few states of hay prices, just not our local. California premium alfalfa is bringing $215 to $315 a ton, $185 to $230 on good. Also, New Mexico is $200 to $340 on premium and $240 on good, on alfalfa. Oklahoma is bringing $180 to $210 per ton on premium and $140 to $180 on good, and fair is bringing around $140. Hay prices are, well, let's pick one. Texas, $160 to $330 per ton on good premium quality grass, $120 to $275 on good grass. Nebraska is $170 and $125. Kansas is $100 to $160 on premium and $70 to $190 on good, which that don't even make sense. $190 can't be higher than that. But anyway, speaking of that, if anybody out there is needing some hay, I got a gentleman that texted in here, and he has about 160 bales of the 3x4x8 foot alfalfa, and it's all been tested, and sent me a picture of the test, and the protein on it's running out at 21%. It's got it had 3/10 of a rain on it, which that's nothing more than a dew. But if you guys are needing any, text me on our ag line here at 225-9697 if you're wanting any of that. And they also have 80 plus bales right now, and we're going to have way more next week of Bermuda and Plains blue stem that's been fertilized and sprayed, no weeds in it. And the bales are weighing anywhere from 1,400 to 1,500. If you're interested, just text into the 225-9697. Well, I got a few minutes left, and today is the day that our new penny news come out. And Today in Ag has two pages in there, and we got Jerry Nine in here. We got the Woodward Livestock Auction. We got the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. We got the Elk City Livestock Auction. We got the Hobart Stockyards. And also, don't forget, this Saturday down at Hobart Stockyards, they got the big sheep and goat sale. 800 head there last time, and I think there was nearly that the time before. I don't remember for sure, but go down there. And we got a big old picture in there of me and my beautiful wife in there. So, also the Jimmy tip of the week. You guys want to hear it? Don't wear flip-flops to the cow lots when it's been raining a lot. The cows are leaving lots of evidence of eating well around. So that was my Jimmy tip of the week. But Jerry Nine had a deal in here and talking about large profit and monopolies. Very interesting article. So pick up your copy of the Penny News today and read that article in there. And tomorrow I got the Hobart FFA will be in here. And they'll be in here in our second segment, and we're going to be talking with the ag teacher and a couple of the students. Jancy Ripito will be back in here from Merit FFA helping me interview these people. That was a blast yesterday. So it went well. It was fun, and tomorrow should be fun too. Sorry I got two FFA groups in here this week, but a couple of them are going to be gone next week, and I didn't want to miss out interviewing them. So when you guys get a chance, just give us a text on the text line and think. Tell us how you think the show's going. And we're on Facebook, streaming live on our show every time. And so that's it for today. So have a great day and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, Randy Renner on First Oklahoma Ag. Bipartisan support for farm labor immigration reform ran headlong into GOP complaints at a Senate Judiciary hearing that the southern border must be secured first. There's no mistaking the bipartisan desire to fix the decades-old problem that previous legislative efforts have failed to fix, a lack of legal year-round